Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Ajna Chakra, the third eye known as the Sun-Moon Center and the Path of Prana. Listen as we discuss the pulse of the universe beginning at the feminine terminal of Ajna Chakra, associated with the zodiacal sign of Cancer, and finishing at the masculine terminal coupled with Leo. In this show, we will be making some comparisons between Kriya Yoga physiology and the symbolism found in Revelation of St. John. Speech is of time, silence is of eternity. That's from Thomas Carlyle. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience golden silence. So Swami, the title of today's show is Speech is Silver and Silence is Gold. What is it that you would like us to know about that title?
In spiritual science, we start with one perfect divine creation. When one is divided into two, we have polarity. And polarization is duality, but it's an illusion, a trick of a double mind that isn't there, a reflection of what is really present. And here, we're calling one silver, which is divided, making it tangible like speech, and the other gold, which is united and intangible like silence. And I always think of Saint Francis, who said, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." He's saying words are secondary. Demonstration is primary.
When I first saw that phrase, speech is silver, I was reminded of another phrase I have heard, silver-tongued devil.
More and more, I'm starting to see the testimony of the corporeal senses is really what the Bible is referring to as the devil. So whether it is visible and tangible or invisible and tangible, and it reports in our corporeal senses, it's false. It's not real. And what is real is what is invisible and intangible. And that's why silence becomes such an important significator here, because we're really looking for what is invisible and intangible. The corporeal senses don't have access to. So we're really trying to cultivate our soul sense, our ability to think with spiritual senses.
So this phrase, silence is gold, why is silence being compared with gold?
In alchemy, the process of changing lead to gold is a metaphor for raising consciousness from Muladhara chakra, symbolized by the metal lead, to the masculine side of Ajna chakra, symbolized by the metal gold. Now, the process of going from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness is the journey from material to mental to spiritual consciousness. Now, the mental physical creation is dualistic. It is divided, and it has a belief in two powers. It's made up of what is visible and tangible and what is invisible but tangible. But when we get into the realm of spirit, consciousness returns to the unified state. There's no contrast, there's no separation. And so silence is the language of spirit. and spirit would be symbolized by pure gold.
So I'd like to talk more about that quote from Thomas Carlyle that we read in the beginning. Speech is of time and silence is of eternity. Knowing what we've been talking about lately, so speech is of time, so time would be our mortal perception, I think, and the eternity, that would mean spirit? Is that how we would break that down?
Well, to answer your question, yes. And then to expand on it a little bit, noise is sensual and therefore considered conscious. The absence of noise may simply be unconscious. When we're out of material sense, we're unconscious. But when we're conscious of the divine creation, we're out of our material senses, but we're not unconscious. We are spiritually aware or totally conscious. Now, in this model, we never divide the one into two, and at the same time, we never reduce the one to zero. And so time is a concept created by the mortal mind. Time, space, concepts, belief. This is all a product of the human mental, physical recreation of the divine creation. When silence is not just the absence of noise, but it is the recognition of the infinite eternity, the omnipresence of the invisible, intangible divine creation, then it's golden.
Swami, you had said when we are out of material sense, we are unconscious. When does that actually happen?
Well, I think on an experiential level, it would typically be the association with the sleep from which we return where we have no recollection, which is actually when consciousness has returned to the unified state. There's no stimulation when you are in unity. And yet at the same time, you haven't activated your soul sense. You haven't activated spiritual sense. So it would appear to corporeal sense that we are unconscious. We have no recollection from that experience until you become conscious of the divine creation, when your spiritual senses now bear witness to the presence of the divine creative principle.
So Swami, why would this topic be important to our Kriya Yoga practice?
Well, Kriya Yoga being a spiritual science and the goal of yoga being union with the divine, this concept of silence becomes a very important component in understanding the process. In Kriya Yoga physiology, we use a three-body system. We have a physical body, we have an astral mental body, and we have a spiritual body. These are also symbolized by things like Ida Nadi, Pingala Nadi, and Sushumna Nadi, which can be experienced as the dragon and two beasts in Revelation, symbolizing the human mental physical concept that we are accepting as what we're calling life now. And so more and more we're starting to see that Kriya Yoga is instruction to do something, as was religion. All of the religions in their original format were designed to relink the individual with this divine creation. And so sometimes I really like to use cross-references to support the concepts that are represented symbolically, oftentimes, because we're trying to understand what is invisible and intangible in visible and tangible terms. And we're trying to understand the infinite with a finite mortal mind that can't bring forth the divine image. So it becomes a challenging task at best. And most of the language that we're using here is about forsaking our modes of human thinking for this higher mind, the divine mind, thinking in the absolute as opposed to in duality or the rational.
So what is the importance of using the physical body with Kriya Yoga?
Well, the physical body is the visible, tangible aspect of the equation. And so the body is a diagram of what we are conscious of. How we think is what we become, is what we work with. And so if I'm thinking in a divided consciousness or at the silver level, then I'm outpicturing imperfections. I'm outpicturing limitations. But if I am at the unified state and I'm outpicturing gold, then I've graduated to the spiritual level, and when spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
Now, is it important for us to have silence in the body as well as in the mind?
Yeah, I think silence and stillness are two very important components in the practice here. For consciousness to rise above corporeal sense level, the pain, pleasure, control dramas of the physical body become material moorings. And we can't move out of material consciousness oftentimes if we are in pain, discomfort, or even if we find success and pleasure in the physical body. And so one of the tricks that we do use in Kriya Yoga is that we give the body what it thinks it needs to calm it by giving the body the essential needs, say, for example, of breath. The physical body, being the false sense of existence, is really driven by fear, need, and it continues to search until it thinks that it has what it is looking for. Now, when the body has what it thinks it needs, then it's calm. And that enables us to be calm in the mind. And then, of course, the best way to calm the mind is to point the mind to the divine creation, where there's no stimulation. And then your mind is just an avenue of awareness for the presence of the divine mind or the divine creation. And in that silence and in that stillness, we watch and we wait for spiritual light. We wait for our spiritual senses to activate. And the way that we do that is by stopping thinking, stopping forming thoughts and opinions based on information that is coming through the corporeal senses. And once we have that spiritual light, then we can detach from duality, the visible and tangible and the invisible and intangible, but we must attach to the invisible and the intangible, and then actually completely reprogram the physical body to look for what it really needs, which is the presence of the divine principle for validation.
Swami, if the divine creation is here, how come we don't see it?
Well, we're looking with a mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And here we can talk about the mental, physical veil blocking the divine creation. The mental obstructions are things like guilt, shame, anger, resentment, blame, emptiness, and boredom. And the physical obstructions are time, space, concept or form, belief or matter, thinking or movement, human will, and personal sense. And so as we're learning, it's pretty complicated, it's complex, and it's not as easy as one might think it is.
Well, we are going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine.
This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I'd like to get a bit more detail in talking about the physical body and why that's important to the subject matter today.
Well, I think what we really want to focus on here is Kriya Yoga physiology. Like we said, I mean, we don't just use a physical body. We use a three-body system, a physical body, an astral-mental body, and a causal spiritual body. In the practice, we are consciously educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. The physical body, or the visible and tangible, which is comprised of 12 systems. Here we use the muscular, urinary, respiratory, digestive, cardiovascular, the immune, integumentary, reproductive, lymphatic, skeletal, nervous, and endocrine system. There are also 4 physical functions: strength, flexibility, balance or alignment, and endurance, and also cellular memory, unconscious patterns, conditioned responses. In this physiology, we have an astral mental body, or the invisible and tangible. We represent it by 12 attributes: bravery, thriftiness, cheerfulness, helpfulness, loyalty, cleanliness, courtesy, trust, reverence, obedience, friendliness, kindness. There are 4 mental functions: perception, feeling or memory, reason, intuition, and 7 chakras: Muladhara, Svadhisthana, Manipuraka, Anahata, Vishuddha, Ajna, and Sahasrara. The infinite spiritual body is the causal spiritual body, the invisible and the intangible. And that could be represented by principle, soul, life, love, mind, truth, spirit. So as you can clearly see, it's complicated, it's complex. And in comparison, when you read Revelations in the Bible, it's equally as complex. So when we do this comparison, say, for example, we have 7 chakras. A chakra is what we call an energy converter. It's really that place where human thought is the same as the divine idea. In Revelations, they associate that with a church. And a church translates as Lord's house. House in the Bible is typically always associated with consciousness. So again, divine consciousness. 7 churches, 7 chakras. We also tie it in with the 7 personal planets. And then, say for example, when you're working in alchemy, you have the 7 metals that they use that are associated with the planets. So Saturn is lead, Jupiter is tin, Mars is iron, Venus is copper, Mercury is quicksilver, or mercury, the moon is silver, and the sun is gold. And so what we do is we line it all up and we work with a schematic, a diagram, and it holds all the information together. Because what we're basically trying to do is educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension.
You did mention the churches in Revelations. Do those have names for them as well?
Yeah, and the order that they are presented in Revelations is actually the order that we use them in: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, when you stack it all up, Muladhara Chakra, which is Saturn at the root center, is Ephesus. Svadhisthana chakra, which is Jupiter at the navel center, is Smyrna. Manipuraka, which is Mars at the solar plexus, is Pergamos. Anahata, which is Venus at the heart center, is Thyatira. Vishuddha, which is Mercury at the throat center, is Sardis. Ajna, which is Sun Moon at the third eye center, is Philadelphia. And Sahasrara, which is above duality, there is no planet that is associated with that, would be Laodicea, which is the crown center.
So let's tie this all in together. How do we talk about prana with what we've just been discussing?
Prana is the life force. It is the invisible, intangible activity of the divine creation. It is the creative principle, and what in the Bible they might refer to as receiving the Holy Ghost. To corporeal sense, it may appear as what we call the pulse of the universe. And the path of prana, descending prana, corresponds with the visible and the tangible appearances of the mental universe. Prana enters the astral body at the feminine terminal of Ajna chakra and touches the feminine terminal of the lower six chakras, starting with Cancer, Virgo, Taurus, Scorpio, Pisces, and ending at the feminine terminal of Muladhara chakra, Capricorn. Then prana rises. Ascending prana corresponds with the invisible and tangible aspects of the mental universe, starting at the masculine side of Muladhara chakra, Aquarius. Then it circulates up to Sagittarius, Aries, Libra, Gemini, and exits at the masculine side of Ajna chakra, Leo. Now, the activity of descending and ascending pranas is the speech side of the process, as consciousness is freed from the influence of sense perceptions. We dissolve the veil and come out of the false sense of existence.
So you had said that the path of ascending prana rises. And I know that's a word that we've been using quite a bit lately, the word rise. Now, how we use the word rise, does that have to do with this path of ascending prana?
Well, to answer your question, no. What we are trying to do is we're trying to rise, which would be considered the activity of Sushumna Nadi. Once we have balanced descending and ascending prana, and we have this inner marriage at Muladhara chakra, now the rising that we're talking about is really the expanding of conscious mind, the lifting. In Kriya Yoga, we call it the raising of the kundalini. What happens in this expansion is identity shifts from material, awareness of what is visible and tangible, to mental, astral, which is invisible but tangible. Both of these dimensions are dualistic. They're part of that divided consciousness that we spoke of in the opening. As we rise from physical to mental, we then start to move into spiritual identity, the invisible, intangible. Kind of reminds me of when we were at Cape Kennedy and we watched a rocket launch. You notice when the rocket is lifting, it has these huge cylinders attached to the assembly. And as this rocket starts going up and it breaks through the Earth's atmosphere, these cylinders drop off. A similar thing happens with the raising of consciousness, because as we start to identify with ourselves spiritually, the false sense of existence, the mental physical concept, is now revealed. The nothingness of the man-made universe loses its veiling power.
Swami, in the title of the show, The Silence is Gold, should we look at those words now and understand that to be total consciousness. And that's what our goal really is in this lifetime, is to achieve that level of consciousness?
Well, I would say that in this model, definitely total consciousness is our goal, and that it is a point of simultaneous observation where what was perceived as the many on a material sense level is now experienced as the one perfect divine light. Total consciousness is not a loss of self-conscious awareness. Now, of course, we never divide the one into two, nor do we reduce the one to zero. There is always the I, the impersonal, infinite, spiritual sense of self.
Swami, we've been talking a lot about healing as well. So how could we take what we've been talking about today and apply that to a healing art?
Well, coming back to what St. Francis said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. In Christianity, the concept of preaching the gospel was healing the sick, reforming sinners, raising the dead. And I really like what James says, faith without works is dead. The message of the Christ here, which is to heal the sick, reform sinners, raise the dead, is a demonstrable principle. It's a law. It really shouldn't be talked about. It should be demonstrated. And that's why I think the silence that they're talking about here is the recognition of the invisible, intangible, divine creation, which is right here, right now, and it's perfect. And we must be conscious of it in order to activate it in our experiences. Also, the origins of the word healing means to be whole, to be complete. And that would be also associated with the yoga concept of total consciousness.
And so I think we still have to come to that realization that we talk about this in other shows too, is recognizing we're all one, we're all of the same. I think this show talks about that as well.
Yeah, and like we always say, talk doesn't cook the rice. We really have to come out of the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. We need to think differently and graduate from thinking with our material senses and activate and cultivate our spiritual senses, stepping out of duality and stepping back into the unified state, which is held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of life, eternal life.
Swami, in the summary, we said that to join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance, to get the light in your soul and experience golden silence. So how do we go about doing this, getting the light in the soul to be able to experience this type of golden silence?
Well, we make our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of the divine creation. And in silence and in stillness, we watch and we wait for spiritual light to dawn on us. And as that spiritual light illuminates our thought and dissolves time, space, concept, belief, thinking, human will, personal sense, we let spirit resolve things into thoughts and exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea, without trying, striving, struggling, or planning. We let the divine creative principle express itself through us as us.
Well, it is that time to start breaking down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. When you're on the homepage and you see the fading banner Blog Talk Radio, if you click that, that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then by clicking on the Products tab and online classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available. So Swami, with that, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience golden silence. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.